Today on Real Life Radio.
As a Christian, you need to be growing day by day and eating greater types of food for strength and for development. Have you been a Christian for 10 years, but you still drinking milk? I got news for you. You have a spiritual bone decay.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J. thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey, this is Jack Hibbs here, and I want to encourage you to get our brand new book, Living in the Days of Deception. This book is specifically written to help you and I navigate these very deceptive times. Here's a special offer. Yes, it is available wherever books are sold. However, right here at jackhibbs.com, if you order it here with us, you will get and only get right here 4 video teachings where I address certain aspects of the book with you personally. And so we look forward to you getting your own copy, Living in the Days of Deception, right here at jackhibbs.com, and you can get the 4 exclusive bonus teachings as well.
Living in the Days of Deception by Jack Hibbs is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, days. Once again, jackhibbs.com/D-A-Z-E. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Christians Behaving Badly, Part 1. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and it's a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul challenges the spiritual foundation of the church and exposes what will happen when a Christian or the entire church gets off target and loses focus on the mission and becomes self-centered. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that when Christians behave badly, their selfishness defines them, their jealousy surrounds them, and their emotions will get the best of them. Now with his message called Christians Behaving Badly, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I don't know what some of you might be thinking when we say sign up for GMO, sign up to be an usher, sign up to be children's ministry, sign up for a discipleship class, sign up for ministry. What? You might, if you're carnal, you're sitting on the other side of this podium and you're thinking, they just want me to do stuff here. You don't understand. It's going to get done with or without you. Do you think the kingdom of God will not function without you? Here's the most tragic thing in the universe for me. God will just step over you and find someone else. I don't know about you, but I don't like being left behind in anything. I don't even like being late. I'm afraid I might miss something. The reason why we offer so many ministries for you to get involved in it is because maybe one of those you'll step up to and jump into, and guess what? You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to meet people you don't like. You said, can you say that in a church? Oh, trust me. You'll meet people you don't like. And here's the fun part. You got to love them because they're your brother or sister. Pastor, how do I love them when I don't even like them? That's Christianity. Oh, God, give me love for this brother. That's real living, my friend. That is real discipleship. A carnal Christian sits back and is very skilled at the remote, knows every channel on their programming, but can't find one verse in the Bible. Can't contribute to anyone else's spiritual welfare. And so you get involved in ministry. There's no excuse. I hope it doesn't happen at this church, but imagine the day when we stand in judgment before the Lord Jesus, and you might be thinking hypothetically, I don't think we'll say anything like this at the moment, but can you imagine when Jesus says, okay, what'd you do for me? What'd you do for me? I don't care about anything you've ever done in your past. I died on the cross for that. That's forgotten. But now that you're saved, what'd you do for me? I want to know, what'd you do? Well, you know, I thought about a lot of stuff to do. Listen, this won't even fly. I prayed about so many things. Christians sometimes have the biggest cop-out statement in the universe. I'm going to pray about that. I wish we had the Pinocchio syndrome. As Christians, you know, I'm going to pray about that. Boop. I'm really going to pray hard about that. Boop. The nose just grows. I'm not going to pray about it. You're ditching class. Look, there's a person over there on the street corner hungry. You know, I'm going to pray about helping that person. That's a disgrace. There's so many things that we can be involved in. Where does that come from? From you eating the Word of God. The Bible goes out, it gets into your heart, it changes your life. Also this, they just won't grow up because they can't keep things down. Paul says they keep spitting stuff up. He says, even now you're still not able to even handle the milk. You certainly can't handle the meat. It just comes up. You're not even able to receive it. The word means that you still can't receive it. You weren't able, you're not. The word also implies that you can't digest anything that is of value. They couldn't keep it down. Think about what they cannot keep down. I went through the Bible, found out some things about how the word is communicated as food. The bread, they can't keep it down. The honey of God's word, they can't keep down. The meat of God's word, they can't keep down. Colossians 3:14 says, but above all these things, put on love. A carnal Christian is not interested in loving people unless they'll be the star recipient of their act of so-called love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. A carnal Christian has no peace. To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. A carnal Christian complains about everything. And let the word of Christ dwell in you. What's the word? Richly. It means that it's got a grip of your fiber of who you are. The Bible. You eat, sleep, drink, talk, think, Bible. You say, Pastor, man, that sounds like legalism to me. That's carnal to think like that. It is. They just won't grow up. Point number two is found in verse 3. And that is Christians behaving badly is this, that they won't play nice. They just don't play nice. Why? Because their emotions get the best of them. You ever seen kids playing and the kid is just emotionally fixated on self? They don't play nice. They can't share a thing. Somebody brings out something. That's mine. The kid grabs it. And then somebody else brings that, and the kid grabs it. He just keeps grabbing everything, pulls it to himself. He's got 400 toys around him when his neighbor kid sitting next to him's got nothing. Man, I tell you, if that's going on in your child's life, you better start teaching them to share now before it's too late. Man, because when they grow up, you know what they do? They grow up into a world like we live in right now, and I'm stuttering right now because assuming if they move out of your house, I'm saying, how do I say this when they get old? 26 years old now, right? Healthcare program covers a kid who's 26, a child 26. Can you imagine? You want to talk about carnal in a culture that's raised up, and it's happening in the church. It's happening in a God context. A person grows up like this. Give it to me. Give it to me. Take out the trash. No. You give it to me and then I might take out the trash. Think about that. 26-year-old man still living at home. The government says, yeah, you got to pay for his health care. No. You say, Jack, what does that have to do with anything? Think of this. A Christian. A Christian walking around, full-grown Christian person, complaining, whining, griping, contributing nothing to the family of God, even though God has done everything for them. It's all self-centered. Those are my toys. It's my world. It's all about me. I want this. How come you guys, I'm not coming back. Oh, I wish I could share with you guys my email I get. The emails I get is amazing stuff. Did you ever think about the sanctuary? It's too much bland. The walls are kind of beige. The seats are beige and the carpet's beige. It's just too much. People come to church. There's a lot of glass, but no stained window. What do you do with that? I got a phone call last week from a guy who was all upset out of the area, listening to the radio program, completely misunderstood the whole program. He's not a Christian, but it's like, man. And the Lord says, Jack, don't go carnal on me now. Bear up with them. Yes, but there's some people in the church that won't play nice because their emotions get in the way. He says in verse 3, for you are still carnal. Paul's lamenting this. You're not growing up. Well, how do we know if they're carnal? There's envy. Look, there's envy among you. He says, are you not behaving like men, behaving badly? Envy. You're still carnal because envy. The word is a very powerful one. It means this: your heart is inflamed. Indignation. We get the word jealousy from this. Having a passion to put down someone else. Envy. To have a passion to overcome someone. To be at war. The word means to be at war with another person in one's heart or mind. We get the word seethe. To seethe. Envy. Paul says you're carnal and you're not an effective Christian because you're envious. And this word walk or behave, behaving or walking badly, the word means that they go all around. The word means to traffic about, to go all around, to distill or to deposit a wake of envy. That's a strong word. Boy, I tell you, Paul's laying it on the church, huh? The Holy Spirit's laying it on us. In 1 John, the Bible there tells us in 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have fellowship with him, God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Notice the criteria. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. He goes on in 1 John chapter 2. He who says, I know God, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He who says he abides in him ought also to walk just as Jesus walked. Strong words. That's Christianity. And Paul is laying it on them. Dr. Ironside says this, Dr. H.A. Ironside, great Bible commentator of yesteryear, and I quote, the carnal Christian is a man whose life is characterized by emotions, which lead him from one performance to another. He is a gifted critic and is quick to point out the faults of others. But in his own life, listen to this, but in his own life, he has learned to tolerate and allow and excuse his own sinful actions. Rather than living for one victory to another, his life is a perpetual state of sin and confession. He is carnal, backslidden. He is, in fact, unclean. Strong words.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Also this, they just won't play nice this way, church. Look at verse 3, continues, because their selfishness defines them. A carnal Christian would be selfish. Are you still carnal? He goes on to say, for there is strife among you. Strife. His selfishness defines him. This is very sad. Strife means to quarrel, to be contentious. It means to have the need. Are you guys still with me? We're almost done. We're almost out of time. It's not that we're done. We're almost out of time. They have the need to debate. The Christian, the carnal Christian, lives among spiritual Christians. Well, how do you know? How can you find them? They're always striving in the middle of an argument. You will find them where the drama is. Do you know people who are Christians, but always there is a controversy? They're always in the middle of a disruption. They're carnal, the Bible says, not spiritual. Proverbs 6, verse 14 says, perversity is in their heart. He devises evil continually. And how do you know? It says he sows discord among the brethren. The word discord among the brethren is to infuse trouble, to divide people, to cause breakups. Interesting. The spiritual Christian works at unifying believers, the carnal Christian works in separating believers. G. Campbell Morgan writes, beware of him. He's disgruntled. And they're perfect pictures of a spiritual cancer. Ephesians 4, 3 says that the spiritual man, you and I, are to be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Church, listen, that means that you and I, what you and I think, believe, and have to say, if it's outside the Word of God, it's not that important, you guys. But the carnal Christian's opinion is paramount to everything. The carnal Christians got to win the argument. The carnal Christians got to finish on top. The carnal Christians' fish is always bigger. When you say, you know what, it was so great. Three people accepted the Lord yesterday and it was so wonderful. Oh yeah, well, you know what? I was at this thing and seven people accepted the Lord. They're carnal. Their show's always got to be bigger. It's always got to be brighter. It's always got to be whatever. They're carnal. Why do they say things like that? They're insecure. In fact, I'll read a quote to you that's probably going to have to wait till next week, but I'll paraphrase it right now. Because of their insecurity and the fact that they've lost or never had a full understanding of their position in Jesus Christ, they have to create a world around them. And yet they're on their way to heaven. And they shouldn't be like that. There's no need for it. There's no need. Years ago, I'll never forget this picture. Years ago, in Orange County, there used to be something called like the African Safari thing down by Orange County. Remember the Orange County drag strip by El Toro Air Base? All that stuff used to be there. And I saw one of the saddest things. Now, granted, it was a recovery center there at that zoo place, whatever it was, the African wildlife thing. And there were turkeys walking around in a pen. And I'm sure there's a good reason for this. I don't know the reason why. It just looks so sad. You know what else was walking around in the pen on the ground with the turkeys? Was a massive golden eagle. A golden eagle. You ever seen how big a golden eagle is? They're scary big. And these, I'm sorry, but I know it was almost our national bird. Did you know the turkey was almost our national bird? Benjamin Franklin was an awesome guy. I love him, but he wanted the turkey to be the national symbol because it sustained the pilgrims and preserved. Anyway, I'm glad his vote didn't count that day. But let's be honest, isn't a turkey just as ugly as sin? And walking around there is this golden eagle. Majestic, awesome, but I pitied that bird. I looked at him and I'm thinking, man, don't you know, dude, your claws could rip that turkey right in half. You don't even know it. Your incredible hook beak. And dude, the turkey's eyes are on the side of his head because he's a bird of prey. I mean, not a bird of prey. He's preyed upon. What is he? He's a disposable bird. That's the word. Predatory birds have eyes in front of their, they have a face. Predatory birds have a face. What in the world is an eagle doing on the ground walking with turkeys? Why would a Christian who's born again, whose name is written down in heaven, walk around with a bunch of turkeys in this world? He walks among those he ought not to be walking with. You are saved, man. Get up and live like it. You're going to heaven. Start practicing heaven in your life. Don't walk, well, you know what? All my friends are a bunch of beer drinking, pot smoking, loser. And that's where I'm at. You're an eagle going, come on, man. Get out of there. Get out of there and walk like you're supposed to walk. And finally, I got about 3 minutes left. We'll do this. They just won't play nice because their jealousies surround them. Their jealousies surround them. But you are still carnal. Why? Because there's divisions among you. Divisions, the word means this in Greek, that they've dislocated themselves and people. Where they go is a bunch of dislocated people. They leave them in their wake or they gather them together. They're dislocated. The word means to be disconnected, to be divided. It means to be cut off from the rest. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says, so that there should be no divisions in the body, that is of the church, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. What does that mean? It means that the carnal Christian cannot handle someone else being recognized. Let's say you're being honored, or the church is being honored. If the church is being honored, then a carnal church that's somewhere else would say, oh, well, you know what? The reason why is because. Or if you're the spiritual Christian being honored, God's blessing your life. Oh, you know what? The carnal Christian says, it's probably because they've always got a bullet in their gun. And they're going to heaven. Don't you wish they wouldn't or couldn't? And you think about it. If Jesus is going to come back based upon our performance, he ain't coming back. I know he's not coming back. He's coming back because he's faithful. And my friend, listen. They can't grow up and they won't play nice because their jealousies surround them. There are people who, according to Romans 12:10, they cannot be kindly affectionate one to another. There's no brotherly love in them. And they cannot give preference and honor to another. A carnal Christian tears people down. So you guys, I know this was not a happy, feel-good message this morning. And it's so much of a bummer. We'll pick up part two next week together. But I got to tell you, this is like going to a doctor. Okay? When the doctor says, this is going to be a little uncomfortable. Just know he's lying his full head off. When your doctor says it's going to be a little uncomfortable, you better bite your finger and hang on because it's going to hurt. And Paul is saying, listen, if there's any consolation to all of this, you're a Christian, you're going to heaven. Listen to the beauty of this, what he's saying. Okay, carnal Christian, you're going to heaven. When you die, you're going to heaven. But I have to warn you, the spiritual believer has been building upon gold and silver and precious stones in their life. You, carnal Christian, you've been building upon wood, hay, and straw. And we're all going to stand before the Lord someday, and he's going to turn on the oven, and whatever makes it through the oven determines how much glory you give back to God in eternity. I have literally heard people tell me regarding the verses that we're looking at, and they think they're so spiritual by saying this. Pastor, I don't want to have any rewards in heaven because I don't want to take away from any of the glory from the Lord. Listen, I don't know what kind of drug you take to think like that. But you've missed it. Listen, here's why. Here's why you want to be the most faithful, radicalized Christian on the planet, the most loving, biblical, wild man for Jesus. Here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. Everything that you and I do in this world for him, in the end, read the Bible carefully, we will get a reward for in the day of judgment. If I stopped right there, you'd say, well, I'm just going to be happy to be there. I understand that, but I'm not finished. You're given a reward in heaven for your faithfulness in this life. Then the book of Revelation tells us that we walk away from that moment. We go over before Jesus, and what do? We cast down our rewards before him at his feet. And we give it back to him. So I don't know about you, but I want to have wheelbarrows. When we dump it before the feet of the Lord, I want him to get all the glory. And listen, you guys, it's those works don't get us into heaven. No, you see, because we are saved, we want to produce those good works because in the end, it will glorify him the more. And the carnal Christian can't handle that.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Christians Behaving Badly, Part 1. Thanks for being here today. This message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Jesus warned us that in the end times, deception, like a virus, will spread like wildfire. Disguised as the answer to all our problems, our secular culture can only offer replacements to the truth. The good news is that the truth of the Bible is the cure. In Pastor Jack Hibbs' new book called Living in the Days of Deception, he exposes the lies with knowledge, experience, and scripture. In a world of deceit, this book is a powerful tool for answers and for truth. From the inspiring foreword written by Mike Pompeo to the final chapter, Living in the Days of Deception is a powerful must-read. Let the deception of this world stop here. Order Living in the Days of Deception today by making a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Order now and you'll receive exclusive bonus video content by Pastor Jack. Go to jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, days. jackhibbs.com/days. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.